free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Tuesday, April 28th, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. I think our current situation is summed up best by a satire from Babylon Bee. Actually, we've got a couple of satires. One of them is about cruise ships. This is not from the Babylon Bee. Another one is about cruise ship lines turning themselves over into storage for oil. They said it's so profitable that we're going to make this, instead of carrying passengers, we're going to retrofit this to just hold oil because there's so much oil. And the big tanker companies are charging so much money, we can make more doing that than we ever did as a cruise line. So turning themselves into crude ships instead of cruise ships. We'll be talking about that. But as Babylon Bee's satire piece comes out, Monopoly suspends the rent on all properties and bumps up passing go to $1,200. This is basically the policy coming out of Washington, D.C. And, you know, when I looked at that satire piece about cruise ships becoming crude ships, that would actually make more sense than what is actually happening. Instead, we're giving the cruise ships, like Carnival, $8 billion in loans. And these people are not even flagged in the United States, but they do have friends in high places. This is the reality of what's going on. Yeah, it's a monopoly. It's a club. And as George Carlin said, you ain't in it. Yeah, instead of the little monopoly man, J.P. Morgan, that's what they patterned the little banker with his top hat and his mustache. You know, it's supposed to be J.P. Morgan, the guy that gave us the Federal Reserve System. As Babylon Bee points out, Hasbro has introduced a new version of Monopoly. This would be the COVID version of Monopoly. You know, they have all those different versions, right? Now, the new rules will stimulate Monopoly's economy. Why just give out $200 when we can increase that number up to $1,200 and make everybody a winner? And now we have Nancy Pelosi out openly suggesting, oh, you know, we ought to make this permanent. We've talked about universal basic income for a long time, and let's just make this permanent. These people who are part of the Green New Deal, again, as I pointed out, it's now the COVID New Deal. All the different aspects of the Green New Deal are basically being put into COVID, because the real purpose of all of this was to establish Marxism. As George Gilder puts it, we didn't need to hit the economy with a hammer and sickle, but they have. They have. They've said many times, I've had Mark Morano on many times, he's had quotes from these people who are at their globalist confabs that they do all over the place, all the time, around the globe, around the calendar. And they've said over and over again, if we didn't have the climate change nonsense, we would have to invent it because we need to have social justice. And that's our path to social justice. In other words, Marxism. And now they've got a new path, the COVID scam. And they are now making these changes, you know, shut down oil, check, got that. Shut down people's jobs, make them dependent on the government, give them a universal basic income, check. Destroy all ability to have meat. And now we see that the protein market is now going the way of the dodo bird. And so are the airlines. We don't want people flying. Remember when AOC said that? We thought she was crazy, and she was crazy. You can't have airplanes. Well, now you can't have them because we're all going to die. Every day we see another report on the Drudge Report about somebody freaking out because they were in an airplane and not everybody had on a mask. Well, if you wear one, you're protected. If they work, and if you're not, you're not protected, right? Just like your vaccines. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Tuesday, April 28th, year of our Lord, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. As I said at the top of the hour, we have Monopoly. Suspending all rent on all properties. And giving you $1,200 to pass go instead of $200. Actually, you probably don't even need to pass go. You just set it home, right? And then collect your $1,200. All railroads will be closed. Essential services, however, such as income taxes, will still be open. Free parking will now cost $1,200. You can get out of jail free, but that's only if you've got COVID-19. If you are a political enemy of the left, they will send you to jail no matter what, right? And we've seen that as well. Now, it's kind of interesting. You know, this is a satire piece, of course, but when a few years ago we had our business, and our business was not selling games. We rented movies, but at a libertarian convention, I saw somebody had what they call the Game of Lose. And it was a Monopoly-like game. They never really got it off the ground, but they had some prototypes, and so I bought them and put them on display. And basically, what you would do is, as you ran out of money playing the game, you know, game of chance, like Monopoly, and you could buy and sell, and different things would happen to you. But if you ran out of money, you weren't out of the game. You went on welfare, and you really started dinging everybody else. And then as somebody else went out of ran out of money, they went on welfare as well. So the game ended when everybody was on welfare. Which is kind of where we are today. We're playing the game of lose. They call it a pandemic, but this is Marxism writ large that has been pushed down on us. So let's flatten some of these lies about the curve. You know that curve that goes back to 1840? Farr's Law. And he realized, hey, whatever we see, whether it's smallpox or something like a flu that affects old people, which is what this is. Whenever we see something like that, it ramps up immediately. People who have other conditions, or who elderly or whatever, or have an immune system that can't handle it, we see a rapid escalation of that. But then the general population, as we're now seeing in the prisons, they're starting to do tests over four different states. They find that 96% of the people that they've tested, and they've tested over 4,000, that test positive with antibodies, never had any symptoms whatsoever. And then, of course, we're told, well, that makes it all the more scary that people don't have symptoms. It's like, well, I don't know. It kind of depends on your perspective, doesn't it? If the thing is mild enough that you get it, you don't even know that you've got it, is that something we need to shut the entire world down for? I don't think so. As I mentioned yesterday, over the weekend, we saw the American couple quarantining in Mexico. Because they were worried about being in New York. And they were down there for a few weeks. And then the drug gangs, they're on the other side of El Paso, Juarez, a very dangerous area. They didn't realize how risky it was to be in Juarez. Actually, it's riskier than it is to be in New York. Chances of being shot as a rich American are much higher than the chances of catching COVID and dying as a young couple in their 30s. So they had 20 to 25 bullets fired at them. And because unfortunately, they did not understand risk. And that's really kind of a metaphor for what has happened to our country. The Marxists have fired one bullet after the other at us. So today we're going to talk about not only flattening the lies here, but we're going to talk about taking the masks off and taking the chains of this lockdown off. It's about time. But let's begin with George Gilder. And if you don't know who George Gilder is, he's the guy who talked about what was going to be coming with the internet, and it was so insightful that Steve Jobs had all of his employees read the book. And he was also feted by many other people. The Murdoch family, Rupert Murdoch, who owned Fox News, flew him for a special briefing to explain to him where things were going to be going, and everything that he said happened. And he's also recently written a book, Life After Google. He believes that Google is not going to survive. I hope he's right. I think they've got so much money that they can buy anything that they want. They can distort reality any way. I mean, he's right that they should not survive in a market type of situation, that we need to have an internet that is based on privacy. Maybe as we start to go into this full-on tracking, people realize that. This might be a catalyst for it. This is a moment of decision. We're going to either move up to freedom or we're going to move down to slavery. And either one of those choices are going to happen very, very swiftly, very suddenly. So we better understand what the consequences are with this. George Gilder, in his book, Life After Google, talks about how these technocrats in Silicon Valley are neo-Marxists. That Marx believed that with the Industrial Revolution, nobody was ever going to want for any material goods. It was just a question of redistributing it. And that's exactly what you still hear from the idiots like AOC, who will refer to her favorite economist, Milton Keynes, conflating Milton Friedman with John Maynard Keynes, two polar opposite economists. Nevertheless, George Gilder said they are neo-Marxists because they believe that now, because of information processing, we have infinite resources and we just have to allocate those and we're not going to have any jobs. And that's why they're preparing everybody with this. This is a big rollout, a preparatory scam, a false flag, a psychological conditioning. That's what this is all about. And as George Gilder writes for the American Institute on Economic Research, he calls this entire episode an egregious statistical horror story. Yes, it is. And it's not just an egregious error, folks. This whole thing has been a lie. You know, the old expression, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. Well, this is these are even worse than the usual lies of statistics. These are CDC statistics. George Gilder writes, with the latest report of plummeting death rates from all causes, this crisis is over. The pandemic of doom erupted as a panic of politicians and is now a comedy of mash-minded med administrators and stooges covering their ifs, ands, and their buts, B-U-T-T-S, with ever more morbid and distorted statistics. The crisis now will hit the politicians and political doctor Fauci, who gullibly accepted and trumpeted what statistician William Briggs calls the most colossal and costly blown forecast of all time. And again, I don't think that these people made an honest mistake. These models were coming out of the University of Washington, heavily funded by Bill Gates. And they overstated the requirement for hospital beds and ventilators, hospital beds up to typically 10 times, by a factor of 10, an order of magnitude out. The closest they ever got anywhere in any state was a factor of 2. They were off by 200%, overestimation. For ventilators, it was up by a factor of 40. They overestimated the number of ventilators needed by a factor of 40. An egregious statistical horror story of millions of projected deaths, suffused with incense and lugubrious accents from the Imperial College of London to the Harvard School of Public Health. Yes, those people who are so wise, right? Because they speak with a British accent. Or because they go to Harvard, right? It prompted the politicians to impose a vandalistic lockdown of the economy. It would have been an outrage, even if the assumptions were not wildly, astronomically wrong. And that's what I said from the very beginning. Even if they're right, this is the wrong thing to do. And we got to stop letting them drag this thing out. Stand up now. Take the chains off now, or it's going to be too late. We'll be right back. Stay with us. the curve was always a fool's errand. It just widened the damage. This is George Gilder writing in an op-ed piece. And, of course, this is the same thing that the epidemiologist in Sweden said. He said, why would you want to flatten the curve? You're just going to prolong this suffering. We've already got are getting herd immunity very quickly, as they're finding in the four-state prisons that they've looked at. They've tested 4,693 people in Arkansas, North Carolina, Ohio, and Virginia prison systems. They found that 96% are asymptomatic. They don't have any of the traditional signs of the virus, fever, dry cough, fatigue, any of that. We would have never known that these people were sick. 96% of them who've had it, who finished with it. And yet we are, the bizarre thing about this is that the Breitbart story that reports this then uses this to attack the Democrats for releasing people out of prison. And I think they ought to be attacked for releasing people out of prison. But the bottom line is we didn't need to lock up the rest of the country for something that 96% of the people who have it don't even know they've got it. How does Breitbart miss that? We've imprisoned all of America. We've enacted a system of Marxism. As Gilder says, we've hit the economy with a hammer and sickle. Why? Why? That's the real thing. I mean, don't spin this into politics. Give me a break. Politics is just, is killing us, literally killing us. All we can do is look at this and criticize the other party, right? Except both of them are killing us. Both of them are doing this to us. And as George Gilder points out, he said, President Trump better take notice. He will soon own this gigantic botch of policy and leadership. No one will notice that his opponents urged even more panicky blunders. And quite frankly, it doesn't make him any better if he took the bait and if he continues to stand behind Fauci while he gives him platform and control over our economy. He does own this. He does own it. How long before he gets a clue if you think that he's honest? I mean, Trump said not too long ago, you know, the dumbest thing I ever did was to try to ban vaping. Yeah, that was pretty stupid, but it didn't couldn't light a candle compared to what you've done now. So he says, point is, the latest figures on overall death rates from all causes show no increase at all. Do you understand that? No increase at all. So what are they doing? They're reallocating the deaths from all sources as all deaths are declining. We reported this a couple of weeks ago. They reallocate it to COVID-19 to show COVID-19 the number one source of death. That's the CDC statistics. Do you believe that? Well, I've got a bridge. I can sell you in Brooklyn if you do. Deaths from other causes are simply being ascribed to the coronavirus. As usual, every year, deaths begin trending downward in January. It's an annual pattern. Look it up. Since the lockdown began in mid-March, the politicians cannot claim that their policies had anything to do with the declining death rate. A global study published in Israel by Professor Isaac Ben Israel, chairman of the Israeli Space Agency and the Council on Research and Development, shows that, quote, the spread of the coronavirus declines to almost zero after 70 days, no matter where it strikes, no matter what measures the governments impose to try to thwart it. And again, I reported that last week as well. No evidence indicates that this flu was exceptionally dangerous. On March 20th, the French published a major controlled study that shows no excess mortality at all from the coronavirus compared to other flus. SARS and MERS were both much more lethal and did not occasion taking a hammer and sickle to the economy. We know this crisis was a comedy of errors. No, folks, it was. This is where I disagree with them. This is not incompetence. This is malice. This is a con game, a confidence game. And the confidence man is Fauci. And he still has the platform. He's still there. I mean, at least Rudy Giuliani on a radio show, and I reported yesterday, said Fauci was paying for this virus that's killing us. And that's basically right. Whether you believe the virus came from China or whether it came from the U.S. or wherever, whatever bioweapon lab it came out of, unfortunately, Like I said, this time they didn't engineer it as well as they did the social engineering. But the reality is, why does a guy like that get a pass? You've got people, Republicans, who are now trying to pick a fight with China, trying to start World War III in every way possible. Tom Cotton is a good example of this. And he says, yeah, these people, you know, we've got to stop this. And I do believe that we ought to stop funding foreign university students because they are coming over here and getting subsidized here in the United States, among other things, but also taking back an education that they could not get in their country. But you understand that the reason that's happening is because the universities are such powerful, powerful figures in Washington. That's one of the reasons why the borders are open up, one of the reasons why we have the Dreamers and so forth, because the universities are hungry for foreign students and for the government to subsidize their universities. But getting back to this, crammed together in subways and tenements, the New Yorkers registered a brief blip of extreme cases. Intubations and ventilators turned out to not help because 80% of the people died. It's now gone up to about 90%. Now jacking up the case rate will be further pointless testing. You understand? The next phase of this is to redefine the virus, say, look at this, we've got new symptoms that are turning up and so forth, and then to go through with testing. We should all be alarmed, like the Breitbart story saying, well, look at this, we've got, when we tested people in the prisons, 96% of them got it. So now lock everybody down again. No, no, no. They didn't even know they had it. As he points out, Fauci is calling for tripling of testing, which can only boost the daily case totals and make it seem like there is a genuine increase that is occurring. Oh my, the daily reported cases are up. It must mean that the disease is spreading and that the reopen failed, right? That's going to be what they're going to do. No, it could also mean, it probably does, given all the other evidence we now have from sampling, that the disease was already there. And we've now just measured it. Measured it. Even if the tests are even accurate. That's the way it's going to skew the public opinion. That's the way it's going to be used. I'm telling you right now, just like I told you 6 weeks ago, what was going to happen if you locked down the economy, regardless of how fatal this disease was. The next phase is to put out all these testing kits that they already know have a lot of errors in them, a lot of errors. There's a big question as to whether or not these things are correct. And not only that, but we've now had multiple cases of the CDC shipping out tests that were contaminated with the coronavirus. Coronavirus tests coming from China that are contaminated with the coronavirus. What's that going to do? That's going to give you false positives. And then people are going to panic. Look, it's spreading. We should have kept everybody locked down. See, the left and the Marxists were right. In a fascinating open letter to German Prime Minister Merkel, epidemiologist Mihai Grigoriou concludes that in the French study, corroborated by findings from Stanford and Santa Clara and also by USC and LA, showed the case for extreme measures collapses like a house of cards. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Making sense common again. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. So, yes, a reminder that Sweden did not lock everything down. And they're going to be reaching herd immunity very shortly. It's the rest of the world, ironically, that is now suffering from Stockholm Syndrome under the spell of Fauci and turned into an OCD nation, obsessive compulsive. I, on the other hand, am ODD, oppositional defiant, and I will remain so. During a press conference Wednesday, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said that we shut all this down because the health experts initially projected 465,000 Floridians would have to go into the hospital. But as of April 22nd, the number is slightly more than two. Kind of missed it, didn't you? By a factor of 250. 250 times. That's even worse than their estimations of ventilators. by a factor of 40 times. They overestimated the number of hospital beds by a factor of 250. And, you know, this story of the two whistleblowing emergency room doctors that surfaced over the weekend, that's now been purged everywhere. Everywhere except on band.video. That's why we have band.video. Because you saw over the weekend also, as everybody made it into a big deal, you know, the what President Trump had to say about light and about Lysol and so forth. They completely misrepresented that in the sense that, you know, what Trump was doing, he was just kind of ruminating over what the spokesperson before him had said. He said, look, it's destroyed by sunlight. It's destroyed by alcohol and Lysol and so forth. And so it's not as, we don't have to be as paranoid about touching everything everywhere. I saw a video yesterday of somebody taking their cat, and they were in an apartment building with an elevator, and they have the cat, and they're using the cat's paw to push the buttons on it. Well, you need to understand that this whole obsessive compulsive disorder that they're pushing on everybody, that's the cat's paw for Marxism. You got people literally using a cat's paw that take their cat with them, go in the elevator to push the buttons. And then, of course, we've got a woman in, and we've got that story coming up. We'll show you some photographs of it. But she started pepper spraying people who got in the elevator with her because they didn't have masks on. Well, she didn't have a mask on either, but she did have some pepper spray. And this is the kind of insanity that we're seeing now. But you had the reason I got into that was because YouTube took down the video of the company that is actually piping light into veins to shut down a number of different viruses. But they actually were using that to come after COVID-19. And because that had been up even before President Trump talked about it, they had to shut that down. Just like the Democrats are trying to shut down that Democrat legislator in Michigan. You know, you have Whitmer, who is threatening physicians' licenses if they were to exercise their doctor-patient relationship. She wanted to inject herself into that and say, no, 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 you're not going to prescribe any hydroxychloroquine. If you do, we'll take your license. And we don't want any pharmacies to fill those prescriptions. And if you hear anybody talking about this and you're a doctor, you report those doctors to me so I can take their license. And then within 2 days, the FDA said, well, we'll allow it on an emergency basis. And then in another 2 days, she was demanding that the federal government give it to them. And then you had a legislator who was there in Michigan. And she said, well, I'm really glad that President Trump mentioned that because I was very sick with this. They gave me hydroxychloroquine and I got over it immediately. And now the Democrat Party wants to punish her, just like they want to punish this company that was working on a medical treatment and showed a lot of promise. I think it was Carnegie Mellon. We've got it here in the stack of papers. But they shut down that that video explaining what their product was. It was called Healite. Healite. So they shut it down on YouTube. Twitter canceled their Twitter account. And then it was still up on Vimeo when the censorship first started breaking on YouTube and Twitter. And then Vimeo took them down. But we have that on band.video as well. And we also have these doctors speaking about this. I'll play you just a little bit of what they had to say. Video clip number 4.
I say, do we need to still shelter in place? Our answer is emphatically no. Do we need businesses to be shut down? Emphatically no. Do we need to test them and get them back to work? Yes, we do.
Doctors Dan Erickson and Artin Masihi, both co-owners of the 5 accelerated urgent care facilities in Kern County, say they have tested 5,213 patients within the county for the coronavirus. That makes up for over half of all testing done here. They say their data and research qualifies their statement.
Is the flu less dangerous than COVID? Let's look at the death rates. No, it's not. They're similar in prevalence and in death rate. So we are saying that our response now that we know the facts, it's time to get back to work.
But White House Coronavirus Task Force expert Dr. Anthony Fauci says otherwise.
We're actually seeing the patients. Dr. Fauci hasn't seen a patient for 20 years.
White House health officials have reported more than 800,000 COVID-19 cases with just over 46,000 deaths across the nation. But Erickson says that quarantining is a health hazard in and of itself.
We understand microbiology, we understand immunology, and we want strong immune systems. I don't want to hide in my home, develop a weak immune system, and then come out and get disease.
Reporting the disease, Erickson claims, is being forced onto healthcare professionals.
ER doctors now, my friends that I talk to say, you know, it's interesting, when I'm writing up my death report, I'm being pressured to add COVID. Why is that? Why are we being pressured to add COVID to maybe increase the numbers and make it look a little bit worse than it is? I think so.
According to Erickson, there is something much larger at play here.
This is not about science, and it's not even about COVID. When they use the word safe, if you listen to the word safe, that's about controlling you. So when I talk to all my ER doctors who work in a hospital, no stake in the game, same opinion.
That's right. Whenever they start talking about safety, that's when you take the safety off of your gun, because they're coming after your liberty and everything that you have. We have created shortages of food, shortages of energy, shortages of medicine. And now, instead of flattening the curve, we've flattened the hospitals, the doctors, the entire health system. And this is by design. Why? Because the government wants to run it all. We've flattened our jobs. We've flattened Main Street, not Wall Street. Wall Street's going to do just fine, and the big banks will do just fine. They're already snarfed up everything at the feeding trough of the federal government before anybody got any help. Nobody got any unemployment checks for the most part. People are still saying, where's my check? The small businesses, the mom and pops are saying, where's my check? No, the whole point is you got to flatten the middle class, because that has always been the objective of the Marxists. And that is exactly where we are right now. Hospitals are empty. They're going broke as normal health care has been suspended. The lockdown was justified in the theory that hospitals did not have the capacity to take care of the millions of people that these models created by the university funded by Bill Gates projected. It never materialized. Armstrong Economics. Martin Armstrong says, I personally could not even see a dentist because they were shut down by the American Dental Association. Hospitals are now in danger of going bankrupt. How does that happen? I mean, we've gone from a situation where we're going to be completely overwhelmed. There's not going to be any hospital beds. And now the hospitals are going bankrupt. So therefore, there is no pandemic. Here's a letter from the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association to Governor Northam, asking that he take off the emergency orders that prevent people from getting healthcare. They said, on behalf of the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association, representing more than 125,000 employees and patients and the communities that they serve, we would like for you to remove this. They said there's almost 6,000 open beds at our hospitals, along with 2,200 unused ventilators. We therefore respectfully request the order of public health emergency to not be extended when it expires on April 24th. But he did. And he's now saying, because he knows better, Ralph Northam, the Democrat, knows better than the Hospital Association or the doctors. This is completely political. May 8th is when he's going to first consider taking off some of the restrictions. All right, so Ralph Northam knows better than the Hospital Association. Now, Ralph Northam is a doctor, quite frankly, but, you know, so is Fauci. They're politicians first and foremost. And, of course, as a doctor, Ralph Northam has shown us that he doesn't subscribe to any code of ethics. He's perfectly fine with murdering babies. So you can kind of toss his medical degree out the door. It was at that wonderful medical school where he did his Ku Klux Klan blackface picture that he was so proud of, that he made that his one of four pictures that he decided that he'd put in the college yearbook that would define him, along with his Corvette. He's got a picture of himself either in blackface or in a Ku Klux Klan hood. And so as the Hospital Association there in Virginia said, we have got We've got empty beds, 6,000 empty beds, 2,200 unused ventilators. Please do not extend this past April the 24th. And, of course, he did. May 8th, the earliest date that he's going to begin removing some of his unconstitutional illegal restrictions. And so in the meantime, as they are destroying the health system, because, you know, the first stage of this was Obamacare. Second stage is this nonsense. And it's not just health care. It's everything in our country. Food supply, energy supply, meat supply, being able to travel freely. Use this as a beard to monitor our every movement, to control our every word, even to shut down churches, you name it. Full spectrum Marxism. One in five doctors has been furloughed because of the pandemic. What kind of a pandemic causes empty hospitals and laid off doctors? One that is a false flag pandemic being sold by the man that President Trump has put in charge of this country, Fauci. Get him out of there, Trump. Unbelievable that you would leave this guy here. Do you not have a clue as to what's going on? 21% of doctors are facing pay cuts or furloughs as the health system is now collapsing, along with our meat supply. Thousands of U.S. medical workers as well. It's not just doctors. It's not just hospitals. It's the medical workers, even people like Dottie Orr, a receptionist for a primary care physician in Akron, Ohio. She's just found out that she's not going to be able to come back to work. She had to take time off to have a knee replacement beginning of March. Then everything got shut down. Now she's 64. She's worked for this doctor for 8 years. She's been laid off because patient visits have dropped over 80%. And she joins thousands of other healthcare workers across the nation who have been laid off, furloughed, or working reduced hours as their services are deemed non-essential. So in a pandemic, doctors, nurses, support staff, hospitals are non-essential. Dental care, non-essential. Because we've got a pandemic. We don't need any doctors or hospitals, right? Yeah, that's the kind of pandemic this is. Houston is looking at dismantling a $17 million temporary hospital that didn't see a single patient. Not a single patient. In other words, kind of like the one that was built in New York City or the Navy ships that were sent to New York City and to L.A. Didn't see anything. They don't need the ventilators either. You know, President Trump was haranguing General Motors because they didn't build the ventilators quickly enough. What's the matter with you people? Can't you get going? So forth. Because Fauci was telling him, you got to prod these people. Get them going. Got to have ventilators. And, of course, you know, he's become Fauci's court jester, as we saw in the press conference on Friday. But Dyson, that built the new ventilator to treat COVID-19 patients because they know something about moving air around, they were told that the UK no longer needs them. And, of course, we're not going to need those from General Motors either. And, of course, New York doesn't need them either after throwing a temper tantrum about it. Why has Belgium got the highest death rates? Did they not do lockdown properly? What's going on in Belgium? They've skyrocketed to the top of the list of the they look at the deaths per 100,000 people. Turns out that 43% of Belgium's intensive care beds are vacant. So how come they have the highest number of COVID deaths? Well, because this is the way this pandemic operates. They're counting all the deaths at nursing homes, even without a confirmed infection. So even though 43% of the beds are vacant in intensive care, they're empty. Like you've seen so many citizen journalists going through all the hospitals, like they're completely empty. And of course they are. Now they're closing down, laying people off, many of them permanently. In Belgium, half of the beds are empty. And yet they're saying they have the highest rate of COVID deaths in Belgium because they are counting anybody who dies in a nursing home to be a COVID patient. About 95% of COVID-19 deaths from elderly homes have not been diagnosed, but Belgium will register them based on symptoms, presumed, just like Fauci and the CDC are doing here. To lie to us and tell us that COVID-19 is the leading cause of death here in the United States, just like they're saying, well, it's the Belgium has the most COVID deaths anywhere. Why? Because they're just presuming it, because they're lying to you in the way they define that. New York refused to, while we're talking about nursing homes, New York refused to send nursing home COVID-19 patients to the nearly empty USNS Comfort. That's the Navy ship that was there. So instead of sending them to the Navy ship to get treatment, instead, Cuomo, because of a New York state order that was put out on March the 25th, said that nursing homes could not refuse COVID patients who were, quote, medically stable. So what they did was, if they had a COVID patient, instead of sending them to a hospital, instead of sending them to the Navy ship, which didn't have anything to do, Cuomo decided that they would be forced, that the nursing homes would be forced to accept these patients who have COVID-19. And they're the people who are medically really at risk. So why is it that New York is the epicenter of all this? Could it be a politician deciding where patients are going to go, and we're going to stick COVID-19 patients in nursing homes if they're medically stable? Just like that respiratory therapist, 21 years experience that I put up on my band.video account, saying we're not allowed. Look at all of these respirators. Some of them invasive respirators where you intubate people. Some of them non-invasive. We would typically put somebody who's got some respiratory issues, would typically start them out on a non-invasive one, but we can't use those. And so they're all over here behind me, all stacked up, and they got covers all over them. And then behind me is another group of the invasive ventilators, and they've all got covers over them as well. There he is right there in the room, explaining what was going on. He said, we're not allowed to put people on the non-invasive ones. We got to wait until they get in really bad shape. And then we can put them on these other ones. But we don't have enough of those even. Yeah, this is the insanity. So Pennsylvania has now removed 200 people from their coronavirus count. Earlier this week, Pennsylvania started to include probable deaths in its fatalities. As a result, the number of coronavirus deaths grew by 276, then by 360 in successive nights, almost doubling the number of deaths in the state in 2 days. And remember, it was a week ago last week. Look at this. We've got a spike in corona deaths. Well, it was just statistical lies, redefining what a coronavirus death was. 1 in 3 death certificates were wrong before coronavirus, and it's about to get even worse, writes USA Today. Bob Anderson, chief of the Mortality Statistics Branch at the National Center for Health Statistics, said in an interview, I'm always worried about getting good data. I think this sort of thing can be an issue, even in a pandemic. You think, especially if you're telling people how to diagnose this? And of course, the first recorded COVID death in the U.S. was from a massive heart attack, says Politico. And that's what they're doing. Heart attack, influenza, pneumonia. Oh, it's presumed to be coronavirus. So the second phase, as John Rappaport pointed out yesterday, is we're going to arbitrarily expand the definition of the disease so we can keep this going indefinitely. Folks, if you want to keep us going, and we're going to talk about censorship when we come back, because, again, that video that I played of Dr. Erickson and others, that has now been censored everywhere except on band.video. You can see that on, well, it's been censored off of Vimeo, off of YouTube. These are the same people who censored us, so we set up our own platform. That takes money to pay for the bandwidth. It takes money to keep this operation going. The way we fund this is with the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com, and we've got a lot of products there that help to support your health. And we also have a way for you to buy food so you don't have to participate in this insanity and to stock up in advance. As you know, the food supply system is going down. So take a look at the products we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Storable food. We have vitamin D to help your immune system, to strengthen it. That is now 50% off. Vitamin Mineral Fusion drink mix is also 50% off. We have 60% off an InfoWars 8-pack power stack. We have both an AM and a PM version of that. It's got nootropic brain formulas, green detox formula, many other things. InfoWarsStore.com.
Free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Internet speech will never go back to normal. And The Atlantic seems to like that quite a bit. Of course, this is an op-ed piece by somebody from Harvard. Harvard, the epicenter of so many of the problems that we have in this country. Isn't it amazing? But let me just read you the beginning of this, because what this sounds like, if you remember, if you're familiar with The Shape of Things to Come, or Things to Come, the H.G. Wells story and book, novel, dystopian future. But I think he kind of thought that was a utopian future. But if you've seen the movie, Things to Come, you know, they have these technocratic fascists called the Airmen, and they decide after a giant conflict, a world war, that they will impose their version of peace on everybody with their technocratic superiority. And the movie was done in the early 1930s, done about 1933, about the same time Elon Musk's grandfather, Haldeman was his name, was trying to overthrow the democracy in Canada and set up a technocracy. They took him to trial. He beat the rap, but he beat it out of Canada and went to South Africa. That's why Elon Musk is coming back from South Africa. But yeah, the technocratic elite, like H.G. Wells, Elon Musk's grandfather, they decided that the elites, the technocrats, should rule, not the the hoi poi out there, had nothing but contempt for ordinary people. And when you look at this movie from the early 1930s, it looks as fascist in the way these people preen around on camera as anything coming out of Nazi Germany later on. And Raymond Massey was the leader of the Airmen. And this is the kind of way that he would talk, the way the Atlantic, the way this Harvard Law School professor, Jack Goldsmith, is talking. COVID-19 has emboldened American tech platforms to emerge from their defensive crouch. Did you know that? Did you know that the American social media technocrats were on the defensive? Did you know that? I thought they were highly offensive. I find what they do to be offensive. When they deplatformed InfoWars and pretty much everything we've done, I've been kicked off of YouTube so many times I can't count. But before the pandemic, they were targets of public outrage over life under their dominion. Were they? Today, the platforms are proudly collaborating with one another and following government guidance to censor harmful information related to the coronavirus. And they're using their prodigious data collection capacities in coordination with federal and state governments to improve contact tracing, quarantine enforcement, and other health measures. Da-da-da! I mean, that's just like some ham-fisted propaganda piece from the 1930s. It's like H.G. Wells or whatever. As Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg recently boasted, the world has faced pandemics before, but this time we have a new superpower. The ability to gather and share data for good. Yes, these are benevolent dictators that are coming out of Silicon Valley. Very benevolent, aren't they? Mark Zuckerberg, he knows what's best for you. They have, each of them, a scheme on how they're going to set up a cryptocurrency, use that to establish a global ID, if they can't do it through their vaccines, their ID 2020 program from Bill Gates and his vaccine ID. These people want to measure and monitor everything that you do. And if you want to know what this looks like, just look at China. But of course, this Harvard professor likes what's been done in China. And even before this was done here, even before the lockdown, even before all the surveillance and the tracking was being proposed, and it's coming on very, very quickly with Apple, with Google, as you see the censorship, the rapid censorship on all the social media platforms. Even before that happened, you had mainstream media saying, well, what's being done in China is exactly what we need to do here, and it's a really good thing. We're going to find that this was bad, but now it's good.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
You know, when I saw this article on The Atlantic, internet speech will never go back to normal. And it's a good thing, too. I nearly fell out of my chair this weekend. I was going to cover this yesterday, but it is every bit as important. We've got to cover this and understand where these people are going. Because as I read that first opening paragraph there, it really does sound like some 1930s propaganda fascist piece. You just need to be able to read it in some kind of a, you know, Walter Winchell voice. You know, the guy that used to open up the Untouchables. As 1936. And Al Capone was in, you know, so forth. And now we do have speakeasies. We got speakeasies for people who are cosmetologists getting arrested in El Paso. This is the kind of fascism that the 2020s are going to be. Yeah, that kind of roaring 20s. And they go on to say in this article, in the great debate of the past two decades about freedom versus control of the network, China was largely right and the U.S. was largely wrong. See, they want the Chinese model. Harvard and all these people, they're pushing the Chinese model. They got it right. We shouldn't have freedom, right? Freedom is bad. You got to be safe. They go on to say, significant monitoring and speech control are inevitable components of a mature and flourishing internet. And governments must play a large role to ensure the internet is compatible with a society's norms and values. Subject everything, every individual is subjected to this nebulous thing called society, the herd. We got to protect the herd. If that means that we destroy every single individual in the herd, whether it's their health or their freedom, we've got to clamp down on the herd, right? The masks. You got to have the mask because you are threatening the herd, you individual, without a mask. Yes, the rest of the 99 can wear their mask, but they're not protected if you don't have your mask on. Same thing with vaccines. That's why I say the whole thing about mandatory masks, that was put on these Texas communities here, even as these projections saying we're going to have all the hospitals are going to be flooded, even as they were completely empty and people were having financial difficulties in the health industry, these bureaucrats, Republican, most of them, now you got the big cities like Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, they're Democrats, but the outlying areas around Austin and these other cities, most of them are Republicans. And there's a lot of Republicans who jumped in on this and started escalating the controls. You've got to wear a mask now. Even though the pandemic hasn't panned out, you've got to wear a mask. We're going to step this up every week. We're going to add new controls to your life to protect everybody. And he goes on to say, beginning in the 1990s, the U.S. government and powerful young tech firms began promoting non-regulation and American-style freedom of speech as essential components of the internet. This approach assumed that authoritarian states would crumble in the face of digital networks. China quickly became worried about unregulated digital speech, and they got it right, according to these people. Yeah, so we have to have the Great Firewall. We have to have the kind of censorship that was rolled out in China. They have to use the internet and all these things for biometric control, tracking of the population. So they now have a reason. You know, China was just doing it. They didn't need a reason because they're not ashamed of being authoritarian dictators. But the Americans have to be given a reason. They have to be told, well, this is for your own safety. We have to become like China for your own safety. And people are buying it. The Democrats love it. The Democrats wanted this to start with. They were demanding that our lifestyle be shut down. They were demanding austerity and poverty. They were demanding communism in every regard. The Republicans are standing by because it's Trump that's doing it. And so, therefore, it's okay. And we don't have to worry. See, if Trump takes your guns, if Trump takes your business, if Trump takes your food, it's not a problem. Because it's Trump and it's Republicans who are doing it. How could it possibly be wrong, right? Let me tell you. Beginning in the 1990s, that's when all this really did begin. And as I've said many times, this is not something that they gradually came to or woke up to or are now doing because there's a pandemic. This was always the plan. It's why DARPA got on the board of these venture capital firms. DARPA, it was a DARPA psychologist who posited the whole idea of the internet. And after it, in the 1960s, after it became practical in the 1990s, The CIA openly created a venture capital firm so they could set these types of businesses up that would cooperate with them. And they created this corporate government fascist program, which we now see. They helped to fund it. It was always the program. The idea that it was going to be free and open, okay, the Wild West, you think DARPA really wanted that? You think the military-industrial complex really wanted that? The people who designed this, the people who funded the companies who built this? Of course they did. It was a rope-a-dope. At the same time they were doing this, at the same time they were funding the creation of these social media companies, they were also building geospatial intelligence to do precisely what they're now doing in the name of disease control. A pandemic that isn't anything that we need to worry about. But look at how this has rapidly happened in just the last couple of months. You know, Zero Hedge was quickly taken off of Twitter because they talked about a Chinese scientist at that Wuhan Institute there, the Biosafety Level 4 lab there in Wuhan. This is a guy who, on his LinkedIn profile, his public LinkedIn profile, he talked about how he was combining coronavirus with a particular type of bat, same type of research that was being funded by Fauci at UNC Chapel Hill. And so when Zero Hedge pointed out that uncomfortable fact, they took Zero Hedge off of Twitter the very next day. And now, as Zero Hedge is pointing out, look, now Western intelligence agencies are saying this. Now mainstream media around the world is saying this. But it was public information in the first place. One of the lawsuits that we got here at InfoWars was because we pointed out what was on somebody's public profile on LinkedIn. It's like, oh, this is an attack. And so they sued us on that. I mean, this is the way these people operate. WhatsApp says that viral message forwarding is now down 70% after it took steps to combat COVID-19 misinformation. If you say something about COVID-19 that doesn't fit their scam, then you get taken down, even though it's end-to-end encrypted. Okay, so maybe it's not end-to-end encrypted, right? Twitter is also clamping down, of course, on 5G conspiracy theories. Don't say anything about 5G these people don't like, because understand, 5G is the necessary technology to make this smart cities biometric surveillance social credit system that they've got in China, that is the substrate technology that they need to have, foundational. They've got to have that broad bandwidth to make all this stuff work. They're not going to be able in real time to identify you and track you and make sure they can control the cars that you are allowed to ride in. If you're a good little citizen, get a pat on the head and you can rent their cars. You know, from their technocratic elite, you know, the few people that are allowed to own cars will rent them to you if you're a good guy. And so they have to have 5G. That is absolutely essential. It has health concerns, but it also has big privacy concerns because it is the foundational technology for the smart cities and everything they want to do. And then you have Facebook now removing an army chaplain's prayer videos. Oh, they had to do it because they had a complaint from an activist group. This is a group called the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Because that's exactly what, you know, like the Patriot Act, the most unpatriotic thing. Well, they always give it the name that is exactly the opposite of what it's about. So the Military Religious Freedom Foundation is a group that is set up to shut down any military religious freedom. Of course, right? Because that's the doublespeak Orwellian world in which we live. And Facebook is more than happy to do that. Fox News is now shutting down Diamond and Silk because they don't like what they had to say about the coronavirus. Is Fox News really all that much different than Twitter and the other elitists, the other technocratically? Of course not. Of course not. You have a few like Tucker Carlson, but that's it. As the world melts down, Bill Gates sells out into the red sunset, reportedly looking at a $644 million hydrogen-powered super yacht with its own infinity pool, its own helipad, spa, and gym, Yoga studio, beauty room, massage parlor, stunning outdoor infinity pool, luxury for 14 guests and 31 crew members. That's about a little more than two each. Two people to wait on you everywhere you go. Now, this is a story that came out February of this year. I guess he was kind of getting his bug-out bag ready. If you're Bill Gates, your bug-out bag is $644 million. This was reported by the New York Post. And this yacht, the Aqua, from a Dutch design firm, has yet to be sold to Gates. And actually, they pushed back and said, well, no, he hasn't really approached us on this. You know, it is very environmentally friendly. It's a 28-ton vacuum-sealed tanks, two of them, cooled to minus 423 degrees Fahrenheit. How do you do that? I mean, does that take some fossil fuels to cool it to minus 423 degrees Fahrenheit? Then filled with liquid oxygen. The only emission then being water. Well, that's great, but how did you cool it down to that level? See, that's what they don't ever want you to look at. And how much material resources are used to create this Nautilus, if you will, although it floats on the surface, you know, this infamous Captain Nemo sailing the seas as the world melts down. Well, he didn't buy that $644 million yacht, evidently. I don't know. I mean, that was February, and people were saying, yeah, he's inquiring about it, but he hasn't done it yet, and so forth. But he did buy a $43 million oceanfront home. So evidently, you know, you could look at this and say, well, he's trying to be green, and he's covering his bases in case all of the polar ice caps suddenly melt down. But no, he didn't really believe that we're going into a climate change that's going to flood the world, because he bought oceanfront property, spent $43 million on that. That's just chump change. I mean, his yacht was going to be $644 million. But, you know, just like the Obamas, who spent, you know, what was it, $15 million? I forget how much it was. You know, once you get up to that point, who's counting anymore, right? But they bought property that, according to all of the climate projections, is going to be underwater. Probably Gates as well. These people don't believe in global warming, or they wouldn't be buying this property on the ocean shore. But, you know, it's kind of interesting as you watch Bill Gates making all of the rounds on the various TV shows. And you got these comedians turned talk show hosts, now turned serious journalists, covering scientific issues from climate change to vaccines to COVID-19. I played for you the clip yesterday when he went on with Stephen Colbert. And, of course, he also went on with Ellen DeGeneres. And they were talking about vaccinating 7 billion healthy people, because we've got to vaccinate the entire world, according to Bill Gates. But I just want you to hear the suck up from Ellen DeGeneres, because before this interview, what had broken about Ellen was all the people who worked with her and for her talking about how mean she was. Right now, we all need a little kindness, you know, this is what Ellen DeGeneres says. She's also notoriously one of the meanest people alive, tweets out Kevin Porter, who is an actor, has been on the show. Many others are talking about it as well. TV scriptwriter Benjamin Simeon also commented on Ellen's, who says she picks someone different in the office to hate every day. He said a new staff member was told every day she picks somebody different to really hate. It's not your fault. Just suck it up for a day. She'll be mean to somebody else the next day. They didn't believe it, but it ended up being entirely true. And so then that brings us to this fawning, kind interview with the world's favorite eugenicist, Bill Gates. Video clip number 3.
Our next guest is one of the richest and most generous men in the world. Please welcome Bill Gates. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hi, Bill. I just love you. You're
first
so
of
wealthy.
All, thank you for doing this. And how is the family? How are you?
Well, I think everybody's lives have been completely upended.
Oh, yeah.
By this,
his life has been completely upended.
Doing,
locked in his mansion at home.
Get the disease numbers way down. So it's disconcerting. You know, a lot of online school.
It's been really
tough
for Bill.
Meetings. A completely different routine.
Yeah, he's had to stay home. He's waiting for that check from Trump and Fauci. Hasn't gotten it yet.
You warned everybody about this in a TED Talk in 2015. You predicted this would happen. And so I'm sure you're very prepared because you knew this was going to happen. Do you feel like you prepared for this?
Well, this goes on and on, and it's quite painful to watch.
Even though this probably surprised you.
I don't know. Even if you liked Ellen DeGeneres, you got to be embarrassed for her. That kind of suck up. Later on in the interview, Bill says, what policies do we have? Because until we get almost everybody vaccinated globally, we still won't be fully back to normal. And then Ellen means, I can't even imagine going out to a crowded restaurant, she says, or anything in June or July if we don't have vaccines. How do you see us acclimating back to a normal life when we don't have the cure for this? The vaccines are going to be the cure, right? I thought vaccines prevented you from getting a disease. Do they now cure diseases here? Well, why not? We're just making this stuff as we go along, right? And so then Bill throws out the line that he's using in all of these. This is a punchline, basically. They uses all these comedians that have now become serious journalists like Colbert and DeGeneres. He says that they won't be back to normal until we either have that phenomenal vaccine or a therapeutic that is over 95% effective. And so we have to assume that's going to be almost 18 months from now. Yeah, we got to lock everybody down because we've got to have the communism, the Green New Deal. We've got to condition people that that's the way they're going to live from here on out. And, he's now focusing 100% of his organization. The Gates Foundation is going to be focused on the coronavirus. As Vox News explains in numerous papers over the past decade, researchers have raised concerns about the Gates Foundation's lack of transparency and its veto power over other global health institutions, along with its spending priorities. Some experts worry that the Gates health philanthropy has become too big to scrutinize. That's right. If he told you what was going on, he'd have to vaccinate you. I mean, kill you, right? To be sure, plenty of experts think the Gates Foundation does important work in fighting neglected diseases and boosting vaccination rates in children and giving away more than $30 billion to do that. And if you have any doubts about that, just take a look at what happened in India, right? About 500,000 kids, it's been alleged, damaged by his polio vaccine, or in Africa where you got kids injured, killed, sterilized by the HPV vaccine. But now we can rest assured that he is devoting 100% of his energy not to those efforts, but to the coronavirus. So what could possibly go wrong? Well, we'll find out when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I think it's time we take the lockdown chains off of ourselves and live like free men and women. And it's kind of interesting that in most cases, it's women who are standing up, who've had it. We do have some exceptions. We've got the 78-year-old tailor in New York City. He did a piece for the New York Post. They quoted him. He said, I'm opening my doors come hell or high water. Why is a liquor store essential and I'm not? Yeah, many churches have asked that as well of the Democrats. He says, I'm fighting for the soul of my company and my people. I'm doing what I think is right to protect my business and my employees from this disaster. He says, if I do get in trouble, it'll be for all the right reasons. What are they going to do? Yell and scream at me? Fine me $500? It'd be worth it for me to be able to open my mouth and say that this is not equitable. If they try to arrest me, I'll say, am I in a police state now? They're not going to arrest me. A 78-year-old Army veteran. Well, after the first weekday of business, he got visited by the police. And then he went on the Tucker Carlson show and talked about what happened next. Let's play video clip number one.
Anyone to dictate to me and destroy the soul of my business, which is 43 years old. And the soul of my business is my employees. And when I see that liquor stores are an essential business, well, I find that ludicrous. I find that liquor stores can be, frankly, existentially dangerous. So I opened.
It's true.
With the idea, well, I opened with the idea that I want to protect my people, protect my country. And I'm not going to allow someone to dictate to me with something they'd have no idea. So this morning, or this afternoon, actually, the police came. They came in. They said, are you open? I said, my door is open. I haven't been in my shop for 3 weeks. We've been closed. We owe a lot of money to a lot of people. We've applied to every government agency that you could possibly think of. We've got registration numbers, and we've heard nothing back. But we did hear that Shake Shack and Ruth Chris, et cetera, and the cruise ships are getting money. That's ludicrous. This country's backbone of businesses like mine all over our country. I don't find myself being brave. I find myself being reasonable. I find myself having common sense. So my door is open. The rules are posted on the door. We're observing every single rule and regulation that's come down.
Yeah, as I tweeted out yesterday, you know, when you got government deciding which businesses and jobs are essential and which ones are non-essential, when they shower their corporate friends with cash while they keep their boots on the throat of non-essential businesses, it is by definition economic fascism. And isn't it interesting that the Antifa people who are supposed to be anti-fascist don't have a problem with that? No, they got a problem with you if you go outside, if you don't wear a mask. See, they are the real fascists. They're fascists in terms of the way that they view society and everybody else, what they do. Folks, this is corruption. It is crony capitalism. You could call it corona capitalism. But it's also an effort to destroy the middle class, the bourgeois. It always has to be done. And the next thing that follows that is famine. That always is used by the Marxists to consolidate power. And we'll be looking at that in just a moment here as well. But again, he says they did not arrest him. He said, in fact, they looked at me and said, oh, you're a veteran. He said, yes, I am. And they said, well, thank you for your service. Yeah, he fought to keep this country free. I wonder what he thinks of it now. People want to walk in. They're allowed to walk in, he said. I'm not forcing them in. We've maintained our distance and so forth. We followed every one of their rules, but that's not enough. It's not about the rules any more than it's about a virus. This is about their overreaching agenda. He was a lot more fortunate than a couple of ladies in Laredo, Texas. Undercover cops arrested these two women in Laredo, Texas, who were operating a cosmetology business that was prohibited. You know, when I look at what he had to say about liquor stores, I'm reminded of what H.L. Mencken said. You know, we went through alcohol prohibition, and then FDR said, well, I'm going to get rid of alcohol prohibition, and he did, but then he prohibited gold at the same time. And H.L. Mencken said, well, you know, last year, if I had a flask of whiskey in my pocket and then a gold coin in the other pocket, the gold was legal and the whiskey was illegal. Now this year, the whiskey's legal and the gold is illegal. And so now we've got a new kind of prohibition in the 2020s. And that is prohibition of cosmetology. They're going to have a speakeasy now, right? That's the 2020. Because they're non-essential. Now, everything that's non-essential, whatever that is, right? Yeah, you know, President Trump, I'm not really comfortable with beauty salons. Well, don't go to one then. It's none of your business. You don't have the power to shut that down. The story that I talked about yesterday of Shelley Luther, a single mom, lost all three of her jobs because of the dictates of Republican Governor Abbott here in Texas, shutting things down. You know, a lot of people are very happy that he has loosened this up. A lot of people are very angry at him. The fascists are very angry at Abbott because he's not continuing the fascism. You're opening this up. You can't open this up. You can't allow people to go to restaurants and Movie theaters this coming Friday? Well, he should have never stopped it. He didn't have the authority to stop it. He didn't have the decency to declare martial law. So he didn't have the legal authority to do it. He should never have done it. We've got a lot of Republican governors in that same category. The governor of Idaho, Brad Little, another Republican. And we've seen the abuses there, again, of mothers being arrested because they were at a playground. Another story of the individual I gave you having the cops harass her progressively in that particular story. She said at first she didn't want to confront anybody. She said, look, I had all this stuff left over from my father-in-law's belongings. We had them in 9 different storage units. We couldn't afford to pay the $2,000 a month because we'd lost our work. So we had to sell it or give it away. So we set up this yard sale. She said, before I did it, I called the police department. They said they'd be fine. Just make sure everybody observes the 6-foot social distancing and so forth. She said everything was going fine. People were abiding by keeping their distance. When the officers from the police department arrived and told her that she'd have to take down the yard sale signs. So first it was okay to stay apart. Then they come back and say, okay, you can stay apart, but now you're going to have to take down the signs. So she did. Then they came back the next day, and they ordered to take down the Craigslist posting to tell people about the sale. And so she did that. She said, we live in a cul-de-sac. We're not on a busy street. We weren't blocking traffic or so forth. And then the third day, they come back and say, well, you're in violation because your yard sale is not essential. You see how this escalates? Nothing had changed. Nobody had gotten sick. Nothing had changed in that area except for their desire to exercise power. This is why we have to take off these chains, because it is incrementally getting worse every day. When we look at this situation in Dallas, Shelley Luther, the lady who finally opened up her salon, she got a citation, carried a fine of up to $2,000. You know the guy who wrote that citation to her that she ripped up as she had people standing with her? Some of them armed, legally armed. She ripped up that citation. That was coming from the Dallas County Judge, Clay Jenkins. You remember a few years ago when Ebola was the pandemic of the year? And, of course, Fauci was in charge, and he didn't shut down the entire country for Ebola. As a matter of fact, they had a case that showed up in Dallas, and the same Dallas County Judge, Clay Jenkins, went to the apartment of the guy who eventually died of Ebola, and he infected 2 nurses who had to undergo radical treatment. But the same guy, Clay Jenkins, went into the apartment and he basically walked around, didn't take any precautions or anything, then went to a press conference, didn't clean up, didn't put on any masks. And he was rewarded for that by Obama. He got a place at the table when Obama came to Dallas. They put the governor of Texas, Perry at the time, way down on the other end. But Clay Jenkins, he sat right next to Obama. All right, let's take the mask off of tyranny here. And people are starting to talk about what's happening with the masks. We see a couple of Walmart incidents. Of course, things always get crazy at Walmart, don't they? Walmart in Pennsylvania, you had a woman who failed to wear a mask, was charged with disorderly conduct. I don't know, she was screaming. She failed to wear a protective mask and began to act unruly, cursing and yelling at employees who probably were harassing him. I guess she lost it. So she was charged with disorderly conduct. They require customers and employees in Pennsylvania to wear masks or to have face coverings inside retail establishments. In Washington, D.C., a woman allegedly pepper sprayed others at the Walmart because they didn't maintain social distancing from her. And as I said, the woman wasn't even wearing a mask. So she's freaked out about this, but she's angry because even though she's not wearing a mask, she wants everybody to keep their distance. And when they don't, she pulls out pepper spray. I guess that kind of acts as a disinfectant, doesn't it? Maybe she was trying to help them. A new treatment for COVID OCD, right? I said, even the security cop got maced, said one person who was there. They was crying. He was crying, they said. Quoted to say. And in Brooklyn, New York, a 32-year-old woman allegedly hit an 86-year-old fellow hospital patient because he wasn't social distancing. See, this is the insanity that is taking this over. But I briefly talked about this on Twitter. I said, you know, there's a lot of states in the Deep South in the 1950s put in anti-masking laws because they wanted to shut down the Ku Klux Klan and people like Ralph Northam. And so you've got laws on the books in North Carolina and other southern states. And the News Observer in Raleigh reports, thanks to a 1950s effort to limit KKK activity and people like Ralph Northam, wearing a face mask in public is technically illegal under North Carolina law. So do you understand the situation here? You have public health officials and governors and mayors and judges and so forth are ordering people to do things, and they don't have any legal authority to do that. As a matter of fact, in some of these states, like in North Carolina, they're ordering people to do things that the law says is illegal. So should you take off your mask during a traffic stop? Ask the National Motorists Association. North Carolina is debating changing the 1953 mask ban. So that would mean that people like Ralph Northam could wear his Ku Klux Klan hood because, you know, COVID-19. Meanwhile, Governor Abbott has pushed back against the face mask rules in places like Austin and Bastrop and Harris County, Houston. He has said that it's got a new executive order that says that they will not be able to enforce local requirements. They'll not be able to fine people if they're not wearing masks. Abbott's order does recommend that people wear face masks in public, but said that no local government could issue a civil or criminal penalty to anyone who is not wearing a mask. Going back to April 13th, you had the Travis County judge and the mayor here, Steve Adler, put out a $1,000 fine because that's what all these tyrants are doing. It's almost like they had some kind of a legislative agenda or something, right? Well, we know they had the Model State Emergency Powers Act that was written just before September 11th and then started getting pushed out. And you had 30 states write 43 different laws to give special emergency powers to public health officials, which they don't have any constitutional authority for. But nevertheless, the federal government was pushing that. And it's almost like they came up with a $1,000 fine. I don't know if that was part of the agenda or not, but everybody's using that $1,000 fine, 6 months in jail. Some of them have more than that. But Harris County is one place where there's been a big pushback. The police officers there said, Art Acevedo, who used to be the police chief here in Austin, said, I've told my officers that they don't have to enforce all these laws. We're just going to kind of chill out with this. But the fire department really didn't take it that way. Fire department official got very, very upset at a restaurant, the Buffalo Grill in Houston. They got a violation notice because the fire inspector, someone from the Houston Fire Department, don't say who it is because we got to protect his identity, right? He saw some police officers who had taken out food, gotten it, outside of the restaurant. The restaurant was Buffalo Grill. And then they sat down and ate outside the grill. And that really got the Houston Fire Department informant upset. And rather than talking to these police officers, this apparatchik from the fire department issues a citation to the restaurant. He wouldn't tell the cops, don't do this, but he hits up the restaurant. Now, there was no fine associated with that. Isn't that nice? They didn't fine that. No fine, no penalty, but just a citation. You've been noticed, citizen. And so our Art Acevedo said, we'll make sure that I talk to the officers and remind them that they should follow the rules and not do that. But, you know, it's always kind of funny to watch how they typically work together on this. And of course, they put out joint statements between the police department and the fire department saying that they wanted to just everybody get along. Let's obey the orders of this judge who, as I pointed out yesterday, is somebody who didn't even come to this country until she was 15, spent 3 years in Houston, then goes to California to school, then goes to work for Pierre Omidyar, an NGO working abroad, then comes back and goes to Harvard for a while, and then bestows her wisdom in Houston. She's only 29 years old. She has absolutely no respect for the Constitution or the culture or tradition of America. The neighboring county, Galveston County, the guy there said when she enforced her, put out her rules about what could be opened and about masks and so forth, said, no, I don't have constitutional authority to do that. Nobody does. And we won't be doing that here. But she had her rules. You know, I've seen this type of thing as a businessman. I've seen how the police and the fire inspectors will work with each other. We had a situation at our store where the police decided that it was easy pickings for them to give parking tickets to people who were driving up and just dropping off a movie. They would double park their car, leave the engine running, and hand us the movie. And even though we had a drop box, some of them wanted to do that. And so we started having a cop just park there in the parking lot. And as soon as he saw somebody jump out of their car for just a second, you know, he would come around them. So we'd try to race to the door so they didn't get a ticket, but it didn't do any good. So I'd had enough. And I went out and he did that one more time, I went out and I told the people, I said, how much is this ticket? All right, you got that much credit in my store. And I started doing that with everybody that came up. And then within about a half hour, the fire department, because this is a fire lane, right? Even though there was no heavy traffic there, it was technically a fire lane. And so then the fire department parked their ladder truck in front of our store. And they started giving rides up the ladder with the police officers. And everybody's coming to the store and said, what in the world is going on? I said, well, let me tell you. And now I've told you how these guys work together. It's absolutely amazing to see this. But, you know, it's about time we wake up to what's being done to us. You want to cure a disease that is destroying our country? Let's declare government to be non-essential. Let's get rid of these people who are destroying our way of life, destroying the middle class, destroying our food supply. We're going to talk about what's going on with the Green New Deal when we come back. Because it's absolutely amazing, the horror stories that we're seeing. The ranchers are being told they've got to kill all of their cattle. The meat supply, the fish supply, everything is being taken down. And it is part of the plan. It is part of the plan to make us dependent and to establish this Green New Deal, because that was really what the Green New Deal was always about in the first place. Folks, take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because that's what funds this program and everything that we do here. And as I pointed out at the top of the hour, you've got now the establishment media, the Atlantic and others are just celebrating the fact that we're now turning into China and saying that these technocratic elites, these social media platforms that are taking down anything that exposes the lies about this pandemic, anything like that is taken down immediately. You're going to find that at band.video. You're going to find it on these programs, because we're not going to be taken down by these people as long as you stand with us. And you've been very good to do that. And we've got some products that are going to help your immune system to stand by you. If you're concerned about disease, and you should be. I mean, who knows what's going to be coming down the pike next from these bioweapon labs that are not going to be shut down. They're going to keep these things going. Who knows what they're going to come up with. But who knows what kind of a health challenge you're going to have. Always make sure that you live life, live it to the fullest, have the best possible health that you can, and you can do that with the products we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off. Get your baseline support of vitamins and minerals. Vitamin D3, our winter sun, 50% off. And many other products at InfoWarsStore.com.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's time to convert cruise ships into oil tankers. Or as my son said, call them crude ships. as the worried CEO of Carnival Cruise Line said, the cruise industry is totally effed. Old people are just not willing to risk potentially getting COVID-19 anymore. And so they said it's absolutely insane how much the oil tankers are making for storing fossil fuels. There's so much oil being produced, not enough storage. Anyone can offer an incremental storage, and we're going to walk away with a ton of money. So either we can convert our cruise ships into oil tankers with relatively little capital expenditure, and in a few days, our cruise ships can store double the amount of oil a traditional oil tanker can hold, and we'll undercut the competition's day rate by $100,000 a day. Well, you know, that would make sense, wouldn't it? That's what would really happen in a free market. But that's not what's happening, because we don't have a free market. It's kind of sad when a satire piece like that makes more sense than the real world, doesn't it? Here's what's happening in the real world. As CNBC's Jim Cramer pointed out, we have Carnival Cruise Line being given an $6 billion in bond markets at drastically reduced interest rates. While small business people, small employees can't even get their checks. It's going to be really good once they get those checks flowing, and you may never be able to get them off of the dole once that happens, right? Employees are not going to want to go back to work. That's the whole point. They want to get them conditioned to universal basic income. But right now, everybody's hurting because the government just came in and shut their company down, shut down their job, and said, we'll send you a check. It's in the mail. I mean, we really do love you. And yet, it hasn't shown up. But while that's happening, the big guys in Wall Street, the publicly traded firms, are making out like bandits, because that's what they are. And so, as Cramer says, I thought the information in that piece was a disgrace. You know what? We're in an era today where there nothing is a disgrace. Everyone knows, but nobody likes to say it, because then suddenly you are lamestream media. But that's true. Cramer went on to reference that Carnival is run by Mickey Arison, a longtime pal of President Trump. Carnival was a sponsor of The Apprentice for years. And Trump and Arison have spoken recently. The president mentioned him by name during several briefings over the past 6 weeks. Cramer said, let's say you're the Federal Reserve. Do you want Macy's to go under? Is it more important to you or less important than Carnival? Carnival, which was a principal, let's say, purveyor of COVID-19 that's killed a lot of people. Look, the bottom line is, which you didn't even get into, according to the transcript here, I didn't see the segment. I don't watch CNBC or CNN. Or NBC, or any of those variants. But as President Trump was saying when they unveiled the so-called CARES Act, the bipartisan universal basic income program that they were so proud of and so furious that one representative from Kentucky didn't sign on to it. When they were talking about that, President Trump said, you know, these cruise ships, you're not flagged in the U.S., and so you're not eligible for the free money. But, you know, if you did that to avoid taxes. But if you reflag in the U.S., well, we'll get that money to you. I don't know if they reflagged or if they just got that money to them. But that's reality. I mean, the reality is that it would make more sense for them to sell off their ships or even set them up to store oil. But that's not the world in which we live. Not the world in which we live. You want a mask contract or some ventilators? Yeah, we've got lots of ventilators now, don't we? Don't need them, though. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
You know, we've had 13 public companies have agreed to return $170 million that they stole from the small business coronavirus stimulus, but others have decided that they're going to keep it. What a surprise. No, this is going to help the small businesses, right? Small businesses defined as those that had less than 500 employees. And yet they redefined this, just like they're redefining COVID deaths. They redefined it to say, well, if they got fewer than that at one location, even if they're a national chain, they can get the money. Even if they're a publicly traded company, they can get the money. And guess who got the money first? You know, the pigs who are always feeding at the trough know right where it is. And they edged out everybody else. So there's no money left for the small businesses. The big banks worked with the big businesses that they always, they're prioritized customers, made sure that they were taken care of, and then there was no money left. This is the corona capitalism that we've now come to see, this kind of fascism, picking the winners and losers, picking who's essential and who's non-essential. They've always been picking the winners and losers of these big contracts, and now they're doing that for everybody. And now they're right in your face. Your business is not essential. If you want a job, says Cuomo, get a job with an essential business. Otherwise, you're not going to have one. Tesla fired 300 janitors and bus drivers, while Elon Musk's wealth grew by $650 million in April. Why? Oh, because of stocks. Because the government is injecting, the Federal Reserve, I should say, not the government, but on behalf of the government. You know, the two sides of the same coin, as Catherine Austin Fitz says, the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department, they're injecting massive amounts of money into Wall Street, and that's going into the pockets of the publicly traded companies, and of course, they're also feeding at the trough. Now, the Small Business Association, as I reported yesterday, is saying, well, if you are a publicly traded company, we're not going to count you as a small business. Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's nice to have that kind of clarification, isn't it? So Elon Musk's stock goes up, and he makes $650 million. Those 300 janitors and bus drivers, even if they were paying them $15 an hour, that would be about $667,000 a month. And about 1/1000th of what Elon Musk made. But he laid them off. He laid them off. This is the way it goes. And that's why, you know, when we look at the Green New Deal, it was always a plan. You know, it was going to save the environment, and we were going to have austerity for everybody. No cars, no meat, no home, no freedom. We'll track you everywhere you go. We'll set up the smart cities. We'll put you in micro apartments. We'll have 5G to track you and to radiate you. Soft kill. And now we're getting all of that. But now the justification is, of course, the virus. And it was always going to be the case that these carbon billionaires, people like Al Gore and others, people like Elon Musk, were going to make a lot of money as they greenwashed their businesses. You know, Maria Bartiromo on Fox News had a point-blank question for Bill de Blasio because she understands where this is going. Are you using this crisis to take us into socialism? I want to play some of that interview for you. Let's do a video clip number two.
Using this crisis to take us into socialism. I just saw you on the press conference. You said this, the bigger picture of fair recovery for all, confront structural, economic, and racial inequalities. Are you looking to change things that have nothing to do with the coronavirus and we're not impacted by that, Mr. Mayor?
Maria, I'm looking to go at the very things that the coronavirus crisis has dredged up, and we've seen it all over the country. There are vast health care disparities that have come up that must be addressed for the good of all of us. It's the right thing to do, but also to have a strong, healthy society. But yeah. Maria, what I'm talking about in the first
I can't listen to de Blasio too long. Look, as you see what they were doing in New York, one of the things that made the news constantly was the fact that, oh, we've got beds in the hallways. It's a madhouse here. The nurses are about to strike because they can't get any protective equipment. Those are all headlines that were recycled from 3 years ago. They were saying all of that in the New York papers 3 years ago in New York City, where this guy, this Marxist, is presiding. Remember, Bill de Blasio, you know, kind of like Bernie Sanders, going to Russia on his honeymoon. De Blasio went to Cuba when it was illegal to travel to Cuba. These guys love Marxism so much they can't stay away. And he's bringing it to New York City now, doubling down, as New American points out. As de Blasio shuts down churches and tramples rights, He lets filthy New York subways transmit the COVID-19 virus. That's precisely what's going on. And if you understand where this guy is coming from, his Marxism that he covers up with a thin veneer of environmentalism, because environmentalism is sold as a religion. So why wouldn't you do this? I mean, the whole point is to use the values and the religion of environmentalism to put in government control and Marxism, because that's what they really wanted. That's why we talk about it being environmentalism. It's like a watermelon, a thin veneer of green, and it's totally red on the inside. And that basically is his religion. So why wouldn't he leave the subways open? Because he wants to control everybody's lives in terms of transportation and everything else. One indication, writes the New American, of whether a policy is driven by principle or just by politics, prejudice, and passion is if it actually relates to the problem that it purports to solve. While New York City's Mayor Bill de Blasio has threatened to permanently, that's his words, permanently shut down churches that dare hold worship service during the pandemic panic, his municipality's subway cars are dirtier than ever, and they're transporting the disease, as one MTA conductor put it. Aside from the filth that is typical on the New York subways, a major problem is that the city subways have become a de facto vagrant shelter, with derelicts living in close quarters crammed into the reduced number of train cars. While ridership is down to only 5% of normal, this comprises essential workers, such as hospital and grocery store employees, the very people that de Blasio and Cuomo claim to appreciate so much. But one of the MTA conductors, Trammell Thompson, said there is an astronomical amount of homeless people now on the subway. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority is now the Metropolitan Transmission Authority. They are transporting the virus. And so the very man, as we look at, that's de Blasio. And if you look at Cuomo, as I pointed out before, he was pushing people into nursing homes if they were medically stable, if they had coronavirus, putting them in there, knowing that this is extremely dangerous, even though for the general population, the Wuhan flu is no more dangerous than the regular flu. For the elderly, the death rate is many, many times higher than it is for the regular flu. And so Cuomo, who issued the executive order, he called it Matilda's Law, named after his 90-year-old mother, places restrictions on people over 70 and those interacting with them. And if you interact with somebody who is elderly, he would give you, under Matilda's Law, a fine of up to $5,000. But even as he was doing that, on the other hand, he was pushing people with COVID-19 into the nursing homes. Quite unbelievably, writes the New American, the first Wuhan virus patients admitted to a Queens nursing home under Cuomo's state rules, quote, arrived along with some grim accessories, a supply of body bags. That was reported by the New York Post. Unlike the general population, their death rates are many times higher. They said, sadly, but not surprisingly, 30 residents have now died at that Queens nursing home. The virus had not been there until Cuomo put them in. And so now the New York Post is following up and saying that Cuomo has blood on his hands. He really does. He really does. And they all do, quite frankly. We're going to take a look when we come back at how they're using this to consolidate the plans that they have put in place for quite some time. The plans, what society they want it to look like in 2030. This was the UN agenda, 2030 for sustainability. Now it is the UN 2030 agenda for the coronavirus. And we'll talk about what that's going to look like as they destroy every aspect of our freedom and of our health and food supply. When we come back, stay with us. Yeah, we're going back to the future, but it's back to the implementation of communism in Russia as well as China, accompanied by austerity and starvation. Let's take a look at what they're doing to our economy now. First, the push towards getting us acclimated to universal basic income. Fewer than half of working Americans will have a paycheck in May as devastating coronavirus layoffs persist. Writes an economist. This is a report from Business Insider. They said job losses will have already contributed to slumps in consumer spending, seen in retail and housing sales reports, and given that consumption makes up roughly 70% of U.S. gross domestic product, the effects on the economy will be severe. Understand, this is kind of like what happened to the food industry as they shut down restaurants. We talked about this before. I think a good example of it is the toilet paper situation. Yes, there was a lot of hoarding and panic because mainstream media reports the toilet paper. But as one analyst pointed out, a big part of the problem is that the toilet paper industry, even though, it was an initial shock, why haven't they recovered by now? Well, one of the reasons for that is that the toilet paper industry, only about 40% of it was packaging toilet paper for direct sale to consumers. The other 60% was packaging it in formats that were for sale to large institutions, and all those large institutions are shut down. And people are staying home and needing it in a consumer format. And the same thing is happening with the food supply. A lot of these producers were distributing food in bulk. They weren't packaging it on an individual basis for consumers to purchase it through grocery stores. And so when you shut down their ability to sell it to restaurants and so forth, and then you had in a lot of jurisdictions, you had the government coming in and saying, well, even if you're a restaurant, you can't sell groceries. So throw it away. And then go back to the farms, and the USDA is telling the farmers that they've got to kill their livestock. They've got to destroy the eggs, destroy the egg-laying hens. They've got to kill their herds of pork and beef and so forth. And all of that happened before they started the new idea that we're going to go into the meat processing plants and we're going to test them. If we got anybody with coronavirus, we're going to shut down the entire meat process because, that's Fauci rules. Fauci said, as long as you got one person that has coronavirus, not even one person dying, but one person tested positive with coronavirus. This is why they're so manic about getting these tests rolled out. And this is why we've got to push the people who have shut this down to take off these restrictions. And even if they won't take them off, we've got to stand up and open up our businesses before they start making a negative test a condition of being open. Because they're going to use these tests to say, look, it spread. Now we're going to have to shut it down again. Fauci even said that. He said, oh, it's going to come back and we're going to have to shut you down again. And they're going to use a test to try to keep you shut down, even as people are rebelling against this. So we've got to not even wait. If you've got a governor who is reluctant to do this, exercising unconstitutional authority, you've got to stand up civil disobedience in your community. Many places you've got a sheriff that will stand by you. That's why I said last week, the most important election that's coming up this fall, if you don't realize it by now, it's going to be local officials. Local officials, because that's where the rubber meets the road on this tyranny. Make sure you've got a sheriff who isn't going to follow the unconstitutional orders of some local administrator. Make sure you don't have an administrator who's going to give those kind of orders. That's far more important than who wins the presidential election. Far more important. Because it doesn't matter at this point whether it's Republican or Democrat. They're all pushing this out on you. And so when we look at what is happening, workers are being asked, are being laid off, and they're saying, well, these unemployment benefits are better than what I had when I was working. Fee.org points out the coronavirus relief bill passed by Congress last month temporarily increased unemployment compensation by $600 per week. Now, it was supposed to prevent layoffs, but it's doing exactly the opposite, as NPR points out. NPR says some Republican lawmakers warned about this unintended consequences when it was being drafted, saying that $600 a week amounts to $15 an hour, more than twice the federal minimum wage. And they talk about an individual. We basically have this situation, said a small business owner, where it is a logical choice for a lot of people to be unemployed. Now, this is Sky Marietta, who opened a coffee shop along with her husband last year in Harlan, Kentucky. She said, the very people we hired have now asked us to be laid off, not because they didn't like their jobs or because they didn't want to work, but because it would cost them literally hundreds of dollars a week to be employed. This is what government does. They punish people who work. They want you to be dependent on them. They want you to not have any upward mobility. And so now, as this is happening, the problem is, like I just reported, a lot of people aren't going to get those checks. And so that's putting people in food lines. But once they start, if we delay the reopening long enough that the IRS can get these checks processed on a regular basis, the Republicans and the Democrats, President Trump and Pelosi, excuse me, are more than willing to put everybody on universal basic income. Here's the way Nancy Pelosi pitched it, video clip number 8.
As we go forward, let's see what works, what is operational and what needs other attention. Others have suggested a minimum income for a guaranteed income for people. Is that worthy of attention now? Perhaps so, because there are many more people than just in small business and hired by small business, as important as that is to the vitality of our economy, and other people who are not in the public sector, meeting our needs in so many ways.
Yeah, there you go. They're going to meet your needs in so many ways. They're going to put you out of a job. They're going to shut down the middle class businesses, and they're all going to put you on universal basic income. We knew that was a plan. We knew that was part of the UN 2030 agenda. We just didn't know how and when they were going to do it. You thought they were going to do it with a Green New Deal, but they did it with a fake pandemic. People have no food. People are talking about suicide, says CBS New York. Many New York and New Jersey residents are losing hope. We're out of cash. The Department of Labor says we are experiencing a high call volume. And so, again, we have this final window of opportunity. If we do not get the economy going again, these people are going to be put on welfare, on universal basic income, and they will not want to go back to work. It will not make any sense for them to do it. And they will have put that major plank of the Communist Party. Everybody on government income, and everybody gets the same income. And forget about opening up a business. Forget about any upward mobility. Forget about working, because they will punish you if you work. In India, they say they are starving us, as millions are facing hunger there. But the same thing is coming to us here in the United States. We have Shad Sullivan, who spoke about how his business was being shut down. We have, as a beef producer, I've got a clip for that I don't have time to show you, but they are basically euthanizing all of his cattle. While we've got 25% of U.S. pork production now shut down, Tyson Foods said this is the breaking of the food supply. And I'm telling you, folks, you can look at this and ask yourself whether this is massive incompetence or whether it is a plan. This looks to me like a plan, because they've been talking about this very thing for the longest period of time. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Joel Skousen. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. Joining us now live is Joel Skousen. You can find his website, worldaffairsbrief.com. Also, he has joelskousen.com, and you can find him on Facebook at Joel Skousen HQ, as in headquarters. Joel, you've got an article up on World Affairs Brief. Basically, you're talking about, it's not an article, but you're talking about what is in World Affairs Brief, which is a subscription journal. But you're talking about the coming conflict between the U.S. and China, looking at it from the side of China. Tell us what you see coming up in the horizon between the U.S. and China, because we see a lot of pushback, I think, really on both sides. My take is that this is probably going to be their exit strategy for the Greater Depression that we've now kicked off, just like we saw with the Great Depression in the 20th century and World War II following up on that. We got all kinds of saber-rattling going on about who unleashed the virus. Both sides are blaming each other for this. And now you've got the Chinese threatening Australia, saying, don't you investigate us. There will be repercussions and so forth. So it seems to me like this is going to be used to escalate this, and it seems to me like both sides would really like to see this happen. What's your take?
Well, it is not imminent. China is simply not ready to take on the West yet. and neither is Russia, and they will join forces to strike the West probably towards the latter part of this decade. Even the Pentagon says their military readiness will not peak until 2029 in that area. So even though there's a lot of saber rattling going on, a lot of pointing fingers and back and forth, what I'm pointing out in the World Affairs Brief is a speech in 2003 by Chi Hao-tien, the top general in the, well, he was the defense minister from 1995 to 2003. And this was his farewell speech to the Communist Party hierarchy. And it was leaked in 2005 to the Epoch Times, which is an anti-communist group of Chinese Americans in the United States. And it's a dramatic, shocking speech just in its braggadocious arrogance, its atheism, its touting how the Chinese are the superior race. And basically, it touts how they are going to be absolutely ruthless to cleanse both America, Canada, and Australia. Now, keep in mind that China's already bought up from Australia all the mineral rights in that country. And so, as I pointed out in strategic relocation, they're guaranteed to be invaded and occupied in the next war. In fact, it's my opinion that, like Japan, you have to take the entire Pacific chain of islands and surrounding in order to have a buffer zone to keep anyone from invading the mainland. And so China will, in fact, take everything from Japan, Philippines, all the way down through Borneo, Australia, New Zealand. They can't leave New Zealand in the hands of the West if they're going to occupy Australia. And clear over to Malaysia and Africa. That's why they're very big into Africa. Now, that's the Chinese plan. But it's interesting to see in this speech, and by the way, your listeners can get a free copy of the speech, even though it's a modest subscription price for my service each week, where I analyze the news from a what the deep state isn't telling you. But you can get a free copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. I'll be happy to send this brief because it's much too long for us to get into. But if I can summarize and capsulize what Chi Hao-tien said, essentially he said, you know, first of all, we're not going to make the same mistake that Germany and Japan did in World War II. They were too soft on the West. Now, think of that in terms of the Japanese prison camps. I mean, these were ruthless. The Oriental mind has simply no feeling for human rights or behavior. It's just a matter of torture and killing. And they just the Vietnamese were the same way. They just didn't feel any sense of humanity whatsoever, any sense of repentance in the torture that they put on people.
Yeah, and we see reports all the time about how China is taking organs from live prisoners. You know, that's just one of the many things that come out of reports out of the way the Chinese are treating people.
That's right. So they say, you know, now this is a very interesting thing that I pointed out in the World Affairs Brief. They talk about we need living space. Now, remember the Lebensraum in German,
that sounds familiar. Space
was the same thing with the Nazis. But in fact, in World War II, the Germans were not thinking about we need more living space. They were very satisfied. They had a well-organized economy. Sure, they had some crowded cities and all things, but they had plenty of room to grow their own food. There was no sentiment in the Germans at all about Lebensraum or needing more. But it was an excuse that Hitler used to be aggressive. And it's very interesting that the Chinese are picking up that same excuse, saying, now we're not going to use living space. We're just going to talk about living areas so that we don't get associated with the Nazis. But
It's kind of interesting, Joel, because the people in Hong Kong were calling them Nazis. And, you know, as you were talking about their racism, how they were the master race, the hyper-nationalism that we see with the Chinese communists. I mean, really, they are starting to sound in many ways like national socialists. You know, they're hearkening back to the Nazis. And again, you know, a slight difference from the communists. Ultimately, if you look at them, it's not really a dime's worth of difference between what the fascists and the communists do, because they're all authoritarian, totalitarian. And ultimately, they will treat everybody the same way, but it's how they come at it. And so it's interesting that you see these racist, nationalistic overtones now coming out of China as well.
But there is one difference. And that is that the Chinese intend to be far more ruthless. Hitler, for example, did not want to attack England. He only started bombing London after Churchill, being a globalist secretly, provoked Hitler by firebombing the cities in the Ruhr district. He mm-hmm. provoked Hitler, and not until then, Hitler would never let his air forces attack cities, only air bases in England. And so this is very real. The Chinese have no intention of sparing anyone. They're talking about cleaning up America with biological weapons.
Yeah.
Now, they realize, especially after the accidental release in Wuhan, and I'll comment on where the origin of that was in a minute, but the Chinese are clearly working on biological weapons at the Wuhan lab, and the U.S. has supported that lab with millions of dollars, $5 million during the George W. Bush administration and $3.7 million courtesy of Dr. Fauci and the National Institute of Health years ago. And so the point is they're working on biological weapons, but they also realize there's going to be a blowback from this. In other words, if they taint America with a deadly biological weapon, which they're trying to develop, it's going to get back to China. They know that now, the way that it travels. And so they can try to contain that by doing a military attack at the same time on America so that there will be no travel away from America. That's what they intend. But still, there's a danger that these things cannot be contained as easily. And it would be months and months, maybe 6 months to a year before they could invade and occupy if they used a biological weapon. So what they're trying to develop, and that's what Chi Hao-Tien talked about in his speech, is a genetic-oriented weapon. And they talk about working with the Israelis, who are trying to develop a biological weapon that only kills Arabs and not Jews, a biological weapon, a DNA-based biological weapon.
Yes.
But he admits, and this is clear back in 2003, that so far genetic biologic weapons have been an utter failure, and they have not been able to do that. And so, but it's interesting that in his speech, and people who rely on this speech are going to be misled, because as of 2003, China was intending to clean up America and Canada and Australia with biological weapons and then come in and occupy, and that they weren't going to use nuclear weapons or aircraft carriers or conventional weapons. That has changed, and I'll explain that after.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with Joel Skousen. Again, you can find at worldaffairsbrief.com. You can get a free sample. Send that email to Joel Skousen. He'll give you a copy of that report. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Stay with us. We're talking to Joel Skousen. You can find his websites at joelskousen.com, also worldaffairsbrief.com. You can find him on Facebook at Joel Skousen HQ. Joel, you were just talking about China's determination that they see themselves as the master race, hyper-nationalist, as we've seen the national socialists like Hitler and so forth in the past. People in Hong Kong are calling them fascists. And again, you have certain elements of fascism where, the Communist Party, Socialist Party owns the property there. But let's talk about the biowarfare issues that you brought up. Certainly, they're wanting to do a targeted DNA where they can come after certain people groups, as you pointed out, Canada, the U.S., Australia, to wipe out people with biowarfare. But when we look at what is happening with this, we've got people like Tom Cotton, says the Chinese Communist Party, he tweeted out yesterday, is arming itself with technology acquired from our labs and research universities. So he points out we've got to stop letting Chinese students come here and study at the graduate level and so forth. I don't have a problem with that, but it ignores the fact that Fauci and the NIH, and it was at the NIH in the infectious disease area where they were funding this research, not only in Wuhan, this biosafety level 4 lab there, giving them $3.7 million, $3 million of it under Obama, another $700,000 under the Trump administration. But they did this while they were prohibited from funding gain-of-function research. And they not only funded it in China, but they funded it at American universities like UNC Chapel Hill while it was prohibited. That prohibition was lifted in 2017, unfortunately. So as Giuliani said, we're paying for the virus that's killing us. It's not killing us yet, but we're still paying for this. Talk about the deep state's role in this, because when you put on a World Affairs Brief, you talk about the world's second greatest threat being China, and you say the greatest threat that we face is the deep state.
Well, and the deep state is more than just a bunch of Obama holdovers in the Trump administration trying to remove Donald Trump. The deep state is a lethal conspiracy. It's a globalist conspiracy to destroy American sovereignty, to take us into a new world order. And they're going to use this coming war with China and Russia by absorbing a nuclear first strike to take us into a global militarized global government.
Yes. That's where we're and do you see Fauci as being a part of that, Joel, with his connections to the WHO and Bill Gates and so forth? Yeah.
There's no doubt that Bill Gates and Fauci are now part of the globalist conspiracy, and they're working this pandemic in order to destroy the Trump administration and to get Americans used to draconian controls under the pretense of a pandemic. And this is a real pretense if there ever was one. But let me talk about the origins of this virus, et cetera. Now, the enhancement of this virus and gain of function was done in Chapel Hill by admission. But we have to realize, too, that the U.S. has an awful lot of other secret bioweapons laboratories around the world.
Oh, yeah.
For example, Dilyana Gaitanseva, the very courageous Bulgarian journalist, found a large new building in Bulgaria surrounded by a fence, U.S. flag on it, American guards around it, and it was a medical facility. And nobody, no patients going into it, et cetera. And, you know, what she discovered was, in fact, a bio lab in Bulgaria, and there are others around the world. Mm. So you have to ask, why would they fund the Wuhan lab when they didn't need to, when they have all of the secret funding for American bioweapons lab in Europe? And they're not doing it on Americans. So I think the real bioweapons are being not being done at Chapel Hill, North Carolina. But they did some enhancement and gain of function research there, which they exported to China to continue the research when it was temporarily banned in the United States. Now, here's the thing. I think the globalists wanted this pandemic in order to, first of all, test the American people's response to see if they will take the kind of shutdowns and illegal and unconstitutional shutdowns and denial of fundamental rights, whether it's protest rights or freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, all that's been violated. But they couldn't do it themselves. They didn't want to release it here. So basically, they exported to China by saying, you guys work on this since we can't work on it. We'll fund you. All right. Well, China, well, we're delighted, of course, because we're trying to do all this bioweapons research. The globalists knew that the Wuhan lab had poor disposal protocols, poor safety protocols, that it would leak out. And it did leak out. I think, as the Lancet pointed out, you know, they disposed of their gloves in normal garbage containers that were not sealed or disposed of. And you have a rampant system of private garbage collection or scavenging in China, in Wuhan, every poor city in China. And I think that's how the gloves got resold into the meat markets, et cetera, and it spread around the world. But I think the globalists knew that. They were waiting for it. They were preparing, you know, to exaggerate this pandemic, which they did. And that's what it took to goad all of these governors, including Republican governors, to get the fear of the virus in their mind when you say, we're going to have 200 million deaths in the United States. It was totally falsified.
Yeah. And of course, everybody was looking at this and saying, look, because China shut down a city of 11 million, that must really be something. And I think, as you point out, you know, we saw the deep state cooperating with China on bio warfare engineering. I think they cooperated on the social engineering as well. I mean, we've seen them very rapidly incorporate things like social credit scores and so forth. As we saw this made public in China, we realized within about a month or so that they were already doing it here in the U.S. Facebook and other social media companies had already set it up, even though they weren't talking about it or applying it directly, and then they start to apply it. We see this magic, you know, got to keep 6 feet of distance here. And as I'm showing there, the Chinese with their biometric surveillance, it doesn't really make that much sense if you're talking about the virus. 6 feet is not a magic number, but it works out pretty well if you want to get good surveillance on people. So it seems to me like they were patterning this, and even before it went to Italy, I saw press reports all over mainstream media talking about how we needed to enact the kind of monitoring and social control that was being done in Wuhan. We've got to bring that over here or we're all going to die. To me, that seems like the biggest engineered part of all of this, the fact that they laid out the approach that everybody was going to take, and then everybody worldwide followed that pattern.
Yes, I think there's no doubt that the globalists were waiting for this and preparing for this in advance. Now, it's somewhat, let's just dispose of one thing, though. There's a lot of people who study conspiracy who think because of the interaction between the deep state and China or the Rothschilds and the banking elements, you know, with Russia, et cetera, that the deep state, there's only one conspiracy and they call Russia and China. I don't believe that for a minute. When you read the speech of Chi Hao Tien, you realize these people are, they despise the West. They think we are the superior race. We are destined to rule the world. And that goes throughout the speech. We are destined to rule the world, and we are going to subject the West to where they should have been all along. So this is not the words of a co-conspirator with a more all-powerful Anglo-American. These are three predator centers. I'm convinced, as I pointed out in the World Affairs Brief, and the most interesting thing about this thing is where Tian talks about Tiananmen Square and almost losing it in Tiananmen Square until they eliminated the main leader, et cetera, and were able to crush the rebellion with murderous tactics. And he said, but, you know, if we had failed, we would have had to face Marx after death and explain to him why we had failed. Now, this is a very interesting thing. He proclaimed his atheism makes us superior to the West because we don't believe in God. We have our sages, our men that we worship here on earth. And yet he admits there's a life after death and he feared meeting Marx. And I discuss.
I think they will be meeting, but not in the way that he imagines. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, that's right. They're going to be meeting him in hell. But, you know, as I pointed out in the brief, just as a side thing, this is very important to understand. There is long in history, in literature, been this idea of the Faustian pact. Faust made a pact with the devil in order to get wealth and fame and immunity from his sins, etc. But, you know, I think because of this statement and other things that I've seen about the conspiracy being Satan-based, that Satan at the highest level has a revelatory ability to these higher-level people. And promise them not only immunity from their sins in this earth life, because if we fail, we're going to be strung up as war criminals that we are, you see. So they know about their criminal acts. But Satan, I think, promises them freedom from the chains of hell, that I'll save you. There will be no hell for you if you help me destroy God's work and liberty on earth.
Right.
And that would be the only explanation of why they believe in light after death without God, is because to them, Satan is their God, and he's going to save us from the chains of hell. And I quote Isaiah 14. You can read it in the brief where it talks about Satan descending into hell in chains, and all of these high leaders and kings of the earth are waiting in hell for him to come down and save them. And they say to him, how art thou brought low like unto us?
Yeah, you know, we're out of time. I would really like to continue this. Yeah, all these kingdoms are mine. I can give them to you if you'll worship me. Joel Skousen, thank you so much.